Denver Sports Snapshot.
Rockies are in St. Louis to battle the Cardinals. Nuggets are in Salt Lake City to face off with the Jazz. And the Avalanche are in L.A. to skate with the Kings.
Snapshot presented by Shomp BMW. One price, one person, 1 hour.
Leading off with the big story of the day. Sports Radio 104.3 The Band presents The Drive with Tyler Columbus and Demon.
I was just listening to the Jokely Show, and man, those guys are terrific. You know, good old Josh and Brandon.
Fantastic. Absolutely the best. I love Josh. Good guy.
Good, solid guy.
Yeah. Stokely, he's all right.
Yeah, but he's nothing compared to Josh.
No, Josh. Josh, that's the dude now. I heard Sandy call him Josh on the way out. I heard it. I had to go confirm it. I had to check in, see if anybody else heard that. Lo and behold, he did say Josh. I was just making sure I wasn't going crazy.
So then we come in. Well, it's kind of funny, you know, just mistakes happen for whatever reason. And then good old Josh Bye tells us there is a long history of people whose names are Zach being called Josh. And this is where the X-Files conspiracy, like, what? I mean, it's a one syllable name that theoretically, I guess, could be spelled with the same amount of letters, depending on how you spell Zach, I guess.
I guess, boy,
Zach is Z-A-C-H. For the record.
Not if you ask Stokely. Stokely still doesn't know how to spell his partner's name.
You're kidding me.
No, definitely thinks it's Z-A-C.
It's Z-A-C?
Like, to this day, if he spells his name, or maybe he puts a K on it, he does something wrong.
I could understand Z-A-K, because I think that is how...
Z-A-C-K, not well, Z-A-K.
Right. His name is... Oh, I see what you're saying. Right.
Right. Bottom line, he doesn't know how to spell his partner's name.
Well, Zach is Z-A-C-H.
I'm going to have a hard time now, though. I mean, legitimately, when I see him now, it's going to pop up in my mind, and I'm not even going to be doing it to try to be funny. It's just going to happen.
Who knew? I did not know. The things you find out. So, the Jokely Show. it's got a good rhythm to it.
Bunch of jokers
on the Jokely Show. That actually works out great.
That's right.
You can talk about, Jokic. Jokic on the Joker. What did our guy, Nick Wrong, say? The latest is that he's, what, the 25th best center in the league? Or?
Well, in, like, league history, yes.
Oh, in league history.
Correct.
All right, again.
When you look at the list of league MVPs over history, I say this with respect to Jokic. Historically speaking, he would be the worst one we've had in 35 years.
Oh, no offense. That's a good way to kick off No Offense Friday.
That is a solid no offense. The problem is it offended me. I thought we weren't supposed to be able to get offended on No Offense Friday.
Well, he did not say no offense before.
You know what?
That.
To be honest, there's nothing that Nick Wrong can say that actually offends me. The guy
Someone
is just
said,
so dumb.
Y'all doing this for ratings. Let me tell you a little secret about television.
All right. Never mind.
Yes, you're right. I am saying that Nikola Jokic is the worst MVP in the last 30 years for ratings. That's what he's saying. Yes.
Stupid. Dumb. I mean, it's literally dumb.
You know, so I used to wonder if you would sell your soul just to say dumb things for ratings. There was a time before I was your partner that I used to think that you would do those sorts of things.
And now?
Now, I just know that you just say those things because you say those things.
I say things that I believe.
Right.
I don't make them up.
He's not doing it for ratings, folks. He's not Nick Wrong.
I'm not. People don't believe that.
He's got my opinions. He's got those crazy takes.
Yeah. What do you have there, Richie? We got somebody ripping on Nick Wright?
Yeah, right after Nick Wright said that, Chris Broussard, who's another Fox analyst who covers the NBA, just absolutely destroyed it.
Oh, let's hear a little bit of that. We can hear that, I guess.
Do you really want to do this? Can I get some stats up on the board?
Yeah, there you
go. I mean, Nikola Jokic is the MVP, Nick. What is this about? Not only is he scoring way more points, getting way more rebounds, shooting a way better field goal percentage, But right. even in the quote-unquote point guard stats, he's equal in assists, he's equal in steals,
job,
he's
Chris.
A better three-point shooter, yeah. and his PER is number one in the league. Chris Paul's 28th in the league. Can we stop this? Okay. And I like Chris Paul, but this is ridiculous.
Thank you.
Well, hey, man, what's PER? What stat is PER?
You know, like... points around errors and rebounds.
Points around errors and rebounds?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's player efficiency rating.
Player efficiency rating.
You think I didn't know that?
PER. What is... All right. What's player efficiency rating based on?
I'm going to guess points, turnovers.
Okay, yeah. I think you're probably right.
I was pretty close when it was all said and done.
I think you actually are hitting the nail on the head.
Minutes played?
How productive you are to errors.
Assists, all those sorts of things.
How productive you are to errors that you make.
Sure.
And probably time has to be a factor in there. Oh, there you go. It's kind of like do you know what OPS is?
Yes, that's your percentage slugging.
You're close. It's your on base plus
slugging percentage.
Yes. OPS.
I legit knew that. Yeah, yeah.
How often do you get on, and when you get on, how often is it for extra
big
bases?
Boom.
Yeah. How impactful?
How many times do you go big boom?
that's right. There. Big boom.
Uh huh.
Sounds like a kid going potty training. Whenever you go big boom, go big boom.
Daddy, I went ba-boom.
I gotta go big boom, big boom. We're going to have Patrick Saunders on here in about 10 minutes. He's speaking with Nolan Arenado today. It's already happened, actually, but they're talking to Bud Black and some other reaction as the Rockies do play in St. Louis.
Nice.
So we'll get that on in a little bit. Josh wants to chime in.
What do you know? What do you know?
Right, after
first 15 minutes of the drive, and Josh wants to jump on.
You got it. After Josh, we actually have kind of crazy big unexpected news that will happen during the show today that kind of formulated right before the show. But let's get to Josh Bai, the leader of the Jokely Show. What's up, Josh?
You guys are too much. I just wanted to share one thing because I think it's really important to the Jokic conversation that you guys were just having.
Yes.
This PER, it is so widely used now in the basketball community, like Richie said, player efficiency rating. It's sort of like the QBR has replaced a passer rating in football. This is very similar, and I just wanted to chime in and say this. Right now, the PER is basically a all-encompassing equation. Take all the good stuff. Minus is the bad stuff.
Okay.
It accounts for pace. It accounts for playing time. So it's really all-encompassing.
Okay.
Nikola Jokic right now is having the 11th best PER season in the history of the game of basketball.
Wow.
It's better than the year that Shaquille O'Neal won MVP. It's better than Michael Jordan MVP years. And it is a fraction of a decimal off of Steph Curry's season back in 2015-16 when he was unanimously voted MVP.
So, Zach, and I'll call you Zach on this. We're not more serious. If we were to look at the 10 people above Jokic, is it fair to say most of them were MVPs or had some sort of championship run in the 10 more efficient guys?
Correct. They're all basketball gods, and they're all MVPs and champions.
So Jokic literally this year is having a basketball god championship-like season.
Here's more perspective. Real quick, that's the last thing I'll share, then I'll hang up.
Yeah.
Jokic has led the Nuggets in scoring, rebounding, and assists. So number one in all three categories in 22 games this season. The year that Giannis won MVP 2 years back, he did it 21 games. Wow. So Jokic has already passed him in that mark in a shortened season, no less.
And by the way, this is a moot point anyways, because we already know from writers, like it's some sort
of... He's the MVP.
There's an overwhelming...
It's done.
Yeah, it's not even close, right?
I think at the end of the day, I think this is going to look like 2014, the year that Kevin Durant won it, when he had a 95 first place votes and the next was LeBron with 6. I think it's going to look something very similar to that.
If we had a driver efficiency rating of the host on this station, of all the drivers, who's going to get the godlike stats of the DER?
Wow.
I would think when you take into account of keeping the show on the clock, teasing into segments and having an organized plan every day. I think it's me by a Jokic
Darren McKee.
Legend.
Here we go. Don't say I never had your back.
The fact that you don't bring up Sean Drotar in this conversation is insulting. but whatever. Thank you, Zach. Man,
see you guys.
All right. See. Now I don't even know if you did that on purpose.
You know what? Now that might actually really happen.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's going to happen on accident. I'm not even trying to be funny.
You know what? Zach actually does kind of look like a Josh.
Really?
Yeah, because you know who Zach? I'm not even joking about this. You know who he actually looks physical to? And you can put side-by-side pictures up. Zach looks a lot like Josh Kroenke.
Oh,
I swear to God, Richie, put up side-by-side pictures on Twitter.
Right, now I'm pulling it up.
Put them up. They're both about the same height. They're both around the same build. They're both college basketball players. They're both around the same age.
You know, I could see it. I mean, loose acquaintance. They've both got the kind of the longer, slicked over, greased hair that goes to the side.
Yeah, they're both good-looking guys. I mean, it's not an insult.
They both look like they've gone a week too long with their haircuts, right?
I'm just saying, if you want to call Zach Josh, I would get it.
I get it. I see it. Zach is not nearly as rich.
Oh, well, I mean, frankly, who is?
Oh. Aaron Rodgers watch.
It's got double take.
All right, the latest on Aaron Rodgers. Ty Dunn, who founded Go Long and a former Packers columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, said this about the Packers in the offseason.
It was definitely building up, and I had heard things here and there, and I had heard from somebody with the Packers that, you know, that the negotiations were getting a little frustrating on their part, that they were doing, you know, what they could, and they were willing to restructure and make him a very rich man if he would just move money around in a way that would allow them to sign a free agent that he wanted. So wasn't really sure what to make of that. But the fact that there was frustration from the Packers side. And then I heard, well, you know, they were looking at these quarterbacks in this draft.
Oh.
You know, what one day two guy that I know for sure, GM in on that meeting. And it's kind of strange, right? Like, why would they be doing this? I know they do their due diligence, but it seemed like it was kind of serious interest. And now we know in retrospect, they were preparing for this nuclear explosion from Aaron Rodgers.
Day two?
Wow.
Say what?
The Packers were exploring a khaki pants quarterback?
What is going on out there in Green Bay? I mean, are you kidding me?
Wow.
You select Jordan Love last year in the first round, and then you were looking at another QB this year?
Awesome.
You know what that tells you? I mean, if that is true, which I have a hard time believing, but if that is true that they were looking at quarterbacks, they should do everything in their power to keep Aaron Rodgers. I mean, pay him double what he is worth, because clearly you don't believe in Jordan Love. If you're looking at quarterbacks this year, you don't believe in Jordan Love. So, and by the way, that was a little bit misleading that the Packers offered him this extension. No, they offered him a lot of money through 2021.
Well, that's the New York Post article today. So, in that one, they said they were going to make him the highest paid quarterback ever.
Through 2021. And then it's over, and then it's done, and then you're a lame duck, and then Jordan Love's taking over. So Aaron Rodgers, why in the world would he sign that deal when he knows he could go anywhere else and get a 4 to 5 year deal, getting paid like Patrick Mahomes? So
he's looking for the 3 year, $100 million deal.
Correct. And that's exactly what the Packers should do. Just pay the man. Money fixes everything. It always has. It always will. You want to fix things with Aaron Rodgers? Pay him a 3 year deal, give him $100+ million guaranteed,
right,
and everybody's happy.
You know, it would be amazing.
Jordan Love's got to sit the bench, and you blew it with your first rounder.
Right.
Big whoop.
Rodgers would get more money, which is good, and then he'd get to stick it to Gutekunst. He'd truly get to stick it to him for not drafting a receiver or tight end or somebody to help him. I'd be sticking it to, Jordan Love, too, but I don't think it's a personal thing with Rodgers and Love, although I doubt they're, you know, that tight.
I would imagine that he doesn't have much love for Jordan Love.
Yeah. I mean, Peyton Manning wasn't very close with Brock Osweiler. So, I mean, it happens. I get it. It would really, for Rodgers, that would be, and frankly, if he got all of that done, that might cost Gutekunst his job.
Which part?
The all of it. The, like, basically having to admit Jordan Love was a mistake, so you hurt the team, you insult your quarterback, and now to keep your quarterback who you insulted, now we got to go above and beyond paying him what we would have had to in the first place.
Yeah, I don't know which one's worse.
All pretty bad.
Walking up into the president's office and saying, "Hey, look, I got to sign Aaron Rodgers to another 3-year deal. We got to guarantee over $100 million, and we're going to have him longer than I thought. It's going to be a waste with Jordan Love, but hey, we get to retain the league MVP, and it's probably the right thing to do." Or is it worse to go in there and say, "Hey, we're going to trade this guy away right now, and we're moving forward with the plan of Jordan Love?"
Well, you know who would have tremendous insight in all of this is NFL Network's Michael Silver. Who will join us two hours from now?
Huh? Join us?
He will be on the
this
air.
Show?
On the air. And this is going to sound nuts. We didn't reach out to him through an intermediary. Oh, I almost said it. Almost said it.
Oh wow! See, you're starting beef already. Unbelievable! Before we even get him on air, you're starting beef.
No,
unbelievable.
No. I just want to be
amazing.
No.
Wow.
Hold on.
Wow.
Hold on. I just want to make it clear because Silver.
You just want to make it clear that you didn't invite him.
but I said I've got no. I really don't have a beef with him. I don't care. But when I say I don't care, I really seriously mean I just don't care.
Uh-huh.
And if it happens, you know, we weren't trying. We weren't making an active effort.
Uh-huh.
It's coming from another direction.
Oh, okay.
But I'm happy to have him on because I don't care. You did reach out last week. Oh, so we did try to get him on.
Were you trying to make...
I'm sorry.
So you tried to make him look bad there.
I'll take it back. Richie, I didn't even know you reached out to him last week. What happened last week?
We talked about it on draft week.
I didn't know you reached out to him. We talked about it.
We had a conversation.
We did talk about this.
I never heard back, but now we've heard back.
Oh, all right. Well, then I take it back. Yeah. Then we did reach out, and he knows that we reached out. All right, okay. Never mind. I guess we did reach out.
No, I'm just curious why you felt it important to clarify who reached out to who in this situation.
Because Silver's used that in the past about, you know, guys that he has beefs with still want him on their show.
Oh.
He's done that multiple times over the years.
So this is going to be confrontational the way you're setting
this
up.
Not for me. Not for me. Not at all. I don't care. It's fine. I think it's at the end of the day, it's probably more of a fun thing to laugh at and have fun with. Yeah, I'm not angry. I'll tell you why I was angry.
I already know what's going to happen. This is going to be an Emmanuel Sanders moment.
This is probably
going to be hyping it up. Everybody gets all excited. Oh, hey, buddy, how you doing? It's so great to check in. What do you know about Aaron Rodgers,
Mike? You're probably 100% right. I would anticipate. So, yeah, I'm not going to overhype it. It's probably going to be exactly like that.
If your first question is not in regards to him calling you an alleged journalist, I will be disappointed in you.
Well, I'll throw that in because that's what happens. Because I asked a question about Broncos ownership years ago, and on NFL Network, you said, press conference. Oh, there was even an alleged journalist. We should find the audio, Richie.
Oh, yes, we do need that.
We had it at some point. But anyways, that should be interesting in about an hour. Silver did, well, we did give him plenty of praise for the article he did about the Broncos in the draft. And he does have a real close relationship with Rodgers that goes back to their Northern California roots.
Yep.
So plenty of other reasons besides our little beef. So that is happening in a couple of hours.
He did have a ton of great information on the Broncos here in his most recent article.
And we gave him credit for that.
Yep.
We said that. But we have another interesting, a lot of cool things happening tonight. Well, yeah, speaking of beefs, right? Patrick Saunders, our fan Rockies insider, joins us courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Rockies in St. Louis. Patrick, what insight can you give us on what Nolan Arenado had to say earlier today?
Well, guys, he was asked just about everything you could think he would be asked today, and Nolan being Nolan, hashtag, played it pretty close to the vest. He was asked about Jeff Breidich and essentially said he didn't pay that much attention to it. You know, I'm not there anymore, nothing I can do about it. I asked him if he had any regrets about the way his situation in Colorado ended and went down, and he said, no regrets. Only thing I wish is he wishes he kept it out of the media a little more, which is a little bit disingenuous, I suppose, since no one kind of used us in the media. But, you know, that's just what he said. he admitted a little bit of nerves. It's going to be weird tonight. Still has really good feelings for most of the people in Colorado, and went out of his way to compliment the fans and how much he liked his time in Colorado, and took a special moment at the very end of the Zoom to single out Albert Pujols, wish him the best, and say, essentially, hey, Albert, you know, you were always my favorite player. So that, in a nutshell, is what Nolan told a pretty big Zoom audience this afternoon.
Patrick, good move or bad move on behalf of the Rockies, starting Austin Gomber tonight, putting a direct showcase out there on the mound, the guy that we got, the showcase, the star that we got in return for Nolan Arenado.
Well, I don't know if he's a star there, Tyler.
That was kind of part of it.
I know, Patrick. Thanks. I get it. You know what? I don't think the Rockies necessarily planned it this way. It's just the way it fell with, you know, injury to Antonio Sensatella, the double headers because of the rain delays, all of that sort of thing. But I am interested to see how Gomber performs because, as you guys recall, his Rockies debut at Coors against the Dodgers was not good. He walked 7 3 innings. I thought he lost his poise a little bit. He's rebounded and had some good outings and some bad outings since. But I will be curious to see how he performs tonight in the spotlight against a team that that drafted him and, you know, basically groomed him for the majors. So it's a big night for him, too. Not as big a night as it is for Nolan, but it's a big night for Austin Gomber.
Do you think Gomber will throw inside to Nolan?
Do you?
I don't know, man. Wouldn't that be something, though? I mean, that would be something.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
Nolan would probably just drop his bat. Nolan would probably laugh. That's what Nolan would probably do, is laugh. Like, really? You're coming at me inside? You who has, what, 2 major league wins or whatever it is he has against Nolan? I don't know. I do not think Nolan's going to come inside against Nolan.
All right, well, fun game to watch. Thank you, Patrick. We appreciate it. Patrick Saunders, courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. First pitch, 6:15, and I tell you what, of all the Rockies moments to watch this year, seeing Nolan Arenado against Austin Gomber in the bottom of the first is going to be at least a little interesting.
Amazing that that's who we're playing tonight.
We have a cool anniversary to celebrate because it has some of the greatest audio of all time. Plus, we have Mark Schlereth and his very limited sympathy for Juwan James. The water cooler's next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Well, there is a fun anniversary, for sure. We are, I believe it's 19 years, and it's Allen Iverson's practice rant. And the context was just kind of, you know, I don't know, it was Iverson being Iverson, and I believe Larry Brown was his coach. I don't know. I forget all the specific details, but it doesn't really matter because Tyler and the world of iconic sports rant soundbite moments.
This is up there.
It's way up there.
They are who we thought they were.
Yep. There you go. We could go through the list of them.
Yep.
You know, practice. That's another practice one. What's this? Jim Mora. They are who we thought, you know, I'm 40, you know.
Oh, yeah, Gundy. I'm a man.
I'm 40. You could go with.
Oh, don't forget about Dan Hawkins. It's the Big 12, brother.
It's not intramurals. That's a good one, man. It's hard to have this conversation without it.
Oh, yeah.
But this one is certainly up there. So, happy anniversary, Allen Iverson in practice.
I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. Not a game. Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We're talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice. I know I'm supposed to be there. I know I'm supposed to lead by example. I know that. And I'm not shoving it aside, you know, like it don't mean anything. I know it's important. I do. I honestly do. But we talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice? We're talking about practice, man. We're talking about practice. We're talking about practice.
Oh.
We ain't talking about the
what
game.
What are we talking about?
It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. We sitting here, I'm supposed to be.
I got it at 11 times. 11 times in 1 minute, meaning he said the word practice once every 10 seconds.
That's impressive. What was it that Tebow used to say all the time? There was something that we would count with Tebow also.
Oh, man. Well, he ended everything with God bless.
I know.
But what did he say?
I swear there was something that we used to tally up with Tebow.
Someone
on the text line will remember. 11 times. We talking about practice?
Practice.
Yeah, Alan, we're talking about practice. You skipped practice. That's the question.
Juwan James stuff. Well, first of all, I want to make a note of this because Cliss just put this out there. Broncos rookie Jonathan Cooper to undergo non-invasive heart procedure will miss rookie camp.
Interesting.
Just seeing this right now. Played with heart condition for the past 8 years. Should be okay to return to the field by the start of training camp. Well, listen, best of luck to him. The video that's out there about Jonathan Cooper is pretty cool. That the suburb that he lives in, he comes out of the house after he gets drafted and all the neighborhood kids are
there. That was very cool.
And they're all giving him hugs and congratulating him. And then he goes into the backyard and they're playing, they're throwing the football around. So
that was a really cool moment, man. I mean, like the most excited moment of your entire life. And you spent it playing with the neighborhood kids.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Looks like a great guy. Hopefully everything goes well. Hopefully it's not overly serious. Yeah, I guess anytime you hear heart, that's a little bit concerning.
Sure. Okay, from Cliss earlier, Broncos placed Juwan James on season-ending non-football-related injured list. James scheduled to draw $10.58 million guarantee in 2021, $10 million salary from original contract. Of that $10 million, James received $150,000 opt-out advance last year. He was also to receive an extra $579,412 from 17th game check, recouping $3 million prorated SB. No medical costs also possible.
Okay, tally that up for me. How much does that add up to?
Yeah, man, I'm not. Wait, 21, 20 and a half. 21 with the extra 579. And then $3 million, I mean, $23, $24 million.
So that's exactly what Troy Rank told us the very first day. Troy said that he thought it would be about $23 million. Oh, my goodness. So Broncos have officially put him on the NFI list, which means that they are saying, no, we do not have to pay you. Now, this still will get complicated. It's not as simple as the Broncos putting him on that list and them saying, okay, we're not paying you. If Juwan James can prove that he's medically cleared in week 6, in week 8, or week 12, no matter what week that is, then he is entitled to earn whatever the remainder of his salary is it would be. So now what most likely is going to happen is the team's going to go to arbitration and they're going to see if they can come to some sort of settlement with Juwan and get it over with and get it done with.
Yeah, I think that's probably what'll happen. I mean, not going to get close to $23 million.
No, of course not.
But will they reach some sort of... Well, we may never know the specific details, but it could be some sort of, you know, legitimate buyout sort of thing.
I think they'll pay him the bare minimum. I mean, whatever the bare minimum is,
whatever
that they have to pay him.
They have to.
This is a bigger moment than just the Broncos versus Juwan James. This is the NFL versus the NFLPA.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the owners they have hired Roger Goodell for a reason, and Roger Goodell is telling the owners, do not pay your players in this circumstance. So, you know, without an owner here, you would assume that we're probably going to fall in line with mm-hmm. whatever Roger Goodell wants you to do, and he's not going to get his money.
I see this $3 million. This is where it could be the $23 million instead of $20 million. They could try to recoup a prorated $3 million of his $12 million signing bonus.
Okay.
So they get money back. So that's where that would kind of all add up.
Got you.
Oh, that would be such a... Maybe they let that slide. maybe they let that slide. Maybe there's some sort of other minimum thing, and they just say, see you later.
Maybe you don't have to literally give us money, but right. We're not giving you anything else. Well...
How about that? And then you're technically giving them $3 million that you don't have to.
Okay.
Now, that might be good enough, don't you think?
Oh, I don't think so, because...
You don't think so? For who?
For Juwan James. So, he's scheduled to make how much this year?
10.5 something. He's scheduled to draw 10.58 guaranteed salary in 2021.
Okay, so he roughly is going to make a little bit over $600,000 per game is what he's going to make. So if he could prove that he gets medically cleared mm-hmm. in week 12, then he would be able to say, I'm going to get 5 weeks of my salary. Mm. So that right there would be over $3 million if he could prove that he's going to be medically cleared with 5 weeks to go in the season. So this will probably take a while because both sides are going to want to see, does he get himself cleared or not? And they're not going to agree to that preemptively unless they get a number that everybody's happy with. But if Juwan is not happy with it, what he's going to try to do is he's going to get healthy as quickly as he possibly can, go to the doctors, say, I'm healthy in week 10, week 12, whatever it is, and then he can get whatever the remainder of his salary is.
Okay, technical question then, because I don't know the answer. When Kliss writes they put him on season-ending NFI, they've already said he's out for the year, though.
Well, that's right.
So he can't come back in week 12.
Well, the Broncos can't bring him back, but he is entitled to the money that was in his salary because if he gets medically cleared in week 13.
Because he could come back?
Yes, because he could have come back. So the Broncos would have made a choice to put him on the season ending, even though he could prove that. Now, he has to get to that point, and there's a good chance that he can't get himself cleared at all throughout the regular season.
You know what? At the end of the day, he's gone.
He's gone.
He's gone. Whatever happens will happen. It doesn't really, who cares, in all honesty, because it's not going to have a dramatic impact on the team. If anything, you know the team will now have millions of dollars. They it's kind of a lucky break for the Broncos if they were ready to move on from him. They weren't, which is why they never really addressed the position in the draft. They should have. They would have had this happen a week earlier before the draft. But okay, one way or the other, they're going to have money to move on to get a free agent and spend money on other players. They're just going to have to deal. They're going to have to deal with the situation they would have had to face anyway, because he was never going to play all 17 games.
Now,
you made a bet on that. You were right.
The team's going to have a little bit extra motivation to come to a settlement with him, because if they come to an agreement, I believe as soon as they come to that agreement, they can get that number off of their salary cap. But until they come to that agreement, I believe that it has to remain in place.
Mm.
So there might be a little bit of motivation by the Broncos to give him a little bit more than what you would have thought.
All right. Well, I think we're wrapping up this chapter of Juwan James. I think it's basically done.
Yeah.
It'll be whatever it'll be. That's it. Moving on. Moving on to whatever the next right tackle is going to be or what they're going to have to do. Well, we certainly have more news with the Aaron Rodgers situation. And Mark Schlereth was ripping apart the Players Association. All that's still to come on The Drive.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
All right, football at 4, we'll give you the latest with Aaron Rodgers, and there's always something new with Aaron Rodgers. Also, Mike Silver will join us at 5:15. Talk about out of the blue on that one.
Big moment.
But
talk about
fun.
Fireworks, explosions.
I do not promise. Don't overhype that.
What?
Do not
what?
Do that.
You've been, dude, you've been trashing this guy for 3 years. There's no chance you could just go in there and be all buddy-buddy. You can't do that.
Don't. I have no intention of being ultra-confrontational.
So you're just going to dog the dude for how many years has it been?
Well, I ripped on him for quite a bit for a while, but I haven't talked about Michael Silver for literally years.
What? You talked about him, like, last week.
Well, because we brought him up. But I mean,
we haven't talked about him in years.
All right, you're killing me on the semantics. We talked about him last week because he was here covering the Broncos Network and wrote a big long piece about it. But it's not like I've been on some sort of just the opposite. When I saw he was here, I was like, we should bury the hatchet. It's not a big deal.
There you go. The problems, be the bigger man.
Well, yeah, the problems that we had were a long time ago, and I haven't, I don't really care. I don't. All right, so I don't care.
If I can count how many times you said I don't care about Michael Silver today.
All right. Yeah, the story behind the scenes. Was I pursuing this?
No, sir. You were not.
All right, so
yeah. You don't sound very happy about it either.
No, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. It's just not some sort of like, hey, listen, you're getting a good laugh out of it. I'll absolutely address the, calling me an alleged journalist at the Super Bowl.
Yes.
But aside from that, it's hard to even remember what it all started with. Where it all kind of went was just kind of a back and forth on Twitter where somebody insults somebody, then somebody comes back over the top, and it kind of goes back and forth like that.
Wait, now has he unblocked you yet before he jumps on the show?
I don't think so.
I think you should check that.
Mike, I really don't care.
See if he comes on the show, if he's unblocked you.
All right, hold on. Give me a second. I doubt he's unblocked me. I mean, I've been blocked for like 9-10 years.
Oh, my gosh. This is great.
Silver. I would be shocked if I'm not blocked. I don't even know. There he is. I think that's him. Hold on.
He unblocked you.
Wait. Hold on.
You guys are buddy-buddy.
Holy cow.
See? I knew it.
That's crazy. Wow. Well, what do you know?
Nice.
There you go.
You guys are like best friends.
I did not know that.
Well, I mean, I was just putting two and two together.
I am unblocked.
Yes.
Oh, I'll follow him then. There you go. Follow. I didn't even know that. There you go. Well, all right. That's cool. Swear to God, thought I was still blocked. Okay, well, now I'm not. Now I'm following him. See, we're going to be best friends. You know who's really pals with Mike is Mike. We're Mike, buddies now, like Josh and
Zach. Yeah, right, sure.
Is Chad Brown.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Chad's really close with Silver and was trying to, sort of settle this, for a long time.
Oh, you had the third party that was trying to bring you guys together.
Yeah, and it definitely was not happening.
Really? Now, whose choice?
Oh, mine, but in his, but that was a few years ago. So, I mean, we can open sealed wounds if you want. We can go back through that.
Hey, you opened these up last week. I'm not talking about anything that you didn't talk about on your own last week.
Hey, it's a warm, fuzzy D-Mac. What can I say?
Yeah,
I'm a different
guy.
All right. So that's at 5:15. That's a while from now. Here is Mark Schlereth ripping on the Players Association. See what you think about this.
What they left out at the end of that memo is, we are mad, we are angry, we are upset, and we will do nothing about it.
Right?
I mean,
we will roll over like we always do.
All right, what are you going to do? The whole solidarity thing, I mean, that was, we're not coming into the workouts unless you got a bonus or you want to go in or you're young or you're like... It really is. It's pathetic. It's a joke. The whole thing is ridiculous. Yeah, they want to control you. They want to give you a chiropractor and a, cryovac machine and hot cold therapy and let you lift weights and have somebody that's a professional help train you.
Feed you lunch, breakfast.
Yeah, right. A horrible boy. Oh, boy. It's just, I can't believe the oppression.
Wow. Man, real pro-management side there. What do you think about those comments?
Oh, I'm with them. this is not a good look for the NFLPA. There are moments where the PA has helped the players, and there are moments where I was a member of the PA and I disagreed with them strongly, and I would voice my opinion. But it's not always easy to go against the PA, even if you voice your opinion in that direction. This moment right now, the players do not look good. This is flat out. It looks so petty. Like the response was, first off, I do think it was Bush League of the NFL to use Juwan James' name in that memo and weaponize him, the individual, as he went through a very serious injury. But it was so petty and ridiculous the way the NFLPA responded by saying, oh, this is just another example of how they want to control you year round. Well, yeah. Your employer is paying you millions and millions of dollars, so they expect you to put in the work that is required to get paid millions and millions of dollars. I think that NFLPA has done a lot of good for the players. They've also done a lot of petty things. In my opinion, this is a petty decision to sit out OTAs.
Okay. Just the wrong hill to die on.
Yeah. Hey, man, if you want to fight for this in the next CBA, fine. If
10 years from now?
Sure, whatever.
You had a chance. It just came up.
If it was such a big deal, why didn't you negotiate in the previous one?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. It felt like it came out of nowhere, and it wasn't very well organized. I mean, yeah, most teams did sign on to it, Tyler, but not everybody. So how many teams at the end of the day did sign on to this thing? Like 19 or 20?
Well, last number I saw was 20. That doesn't mean that there weren't a handful more than that. Actually, I saw an interesting stat today. Hold on, let me pull this up really quick. So this came from Albert Breer. Here we go. So the full-on boycott was always going to be impossible. Here's the current list of teams. Seven teams have had between 31 and 70 players in attendance. So seven teams have basically had the entire roster there, with a few including Jacksonville, who have had over 60 players in attendance.
Dang.
18 teams have had between 15 and 30 players in attendance. So there's roughly about 90 guys on the roster right now. So there's 18 teams that have got like a third of the guys that are in the building. Seven teams have had 14 or fewer players at the facility. So the majority of the players are actually at the facility.
Stupid. And Juwan James is going to lose out on millions of dollars.
Yes.
Simply for getting ready for the season by doing something he wasn't doing. He was working out the facility.
Correct.
And now he's going to lose millions of dollars because he wasn't, because he was trying to be, you know, pro.
Well, he was trying
player.
To get back in with the guys. That's what he was trying to do.
Right. And it's now going to cost him millions of dollars.
Right.
That's rough. You would have thought the NFLPA would have had a good backup system for that, or insurance policy or something, in case something like this would happen, and it appears the answer is no.
I'm telling you, this should be the end of D. Smith. Not the fact that he encouraged the guys to sit out. That's fine. If you want the guys to sit out and you want to use that as a way to negotiate things that are better for the players, fine. But have a plan in place that if something like this goes wrong, your guys get paid. So like Troy Rank brought up yesterday, why in the world we don't have an insurance policy? When I say we, I mean the players. Why they didn't have an insurance policy in place or facilities that they could work out at, and they knew that they were covered if they got injured, is beyond me. That alone should be the end of D. Smith.
Okay, football at 4, the latest with Aaron Rodgers. Our guy Mike Evans had an interesting take on the value of this potential deal. And an ex-teammate of Rodgers had a fascinating perspective. Plus, the fan film room will look at safeties. We'll break down the two safeties taken by the Broncos later in the draft. This is The Drive on The Fan.